accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
November 9th, 1989. History is made. The Berlin Wall falls. Years pass. Decades end. A new century is born. In 2021, one wall remains at Revolution Radio. The wall between Studio A, the Wisdom Circle, and Studio B, the Raw Deal. The wall falls. History is made. Wisdom Circle plus Raw Deal equals the event. James Fetzer. David Scorpio. Giuseppe Battaglia. History is made. And now, the event.
Well, Giuseppe, we are hoping to be joined today by an expert on China. He knows a great deal about the subtleties and intricacies, but there may be a problem connecting. In the meanwhile, there are at least three major stories that we want to discuss, and then we can invite callers to join us early. First of all, emotions run high as Canadians line highways to cheer on a massive number of Truckers for Freedom convoy protesting the fascist vaccine mandates in Canada. On Sunday, a massive anti-vaccine mandate truck convoy in Canada set off on a freedom rally starting in northern British Columbia, ending in the Canadian capital city of Ottawa. There they will be joined by Canada Unity in protest against a COVID vaccine mandate for Canadian truckers that went into effect on January 15th. This movement has captivated Twitter, where many videos and messages of support have been shared. The videos posted by both truckers and bystanders show thousands of people lining the roads, highway, and bridges in support of the protest. The supporters are holding signs, cheering as the truckers drive by, and some trucks have signs hanging from their messages written on their trailers. One truck read, "Restore our freedom, stop spreading fear, open all businesses, protect democracy." One of my correspondents observed that thousands of truckers protesting might not bother the government, but tens of thousands cheering them on is ominous and awesome. Your thoughts, Giuseppe? Perhaps we could capture some of that footage off of Twitter or elsewhere.
Yeah, absolutely, Jim. I'm in the process of lining this up to play. I've got multiple Twitter clips, so let me just switch over to here we go. Here's the first one. Canadian truckers stand for freedom, and here's the should be.
Well, we're protesting the vaccine mandate.
God, look at that. Totally blocked up. That's awesome.
There we go. There's mandate freedom right there. There's Rick's truck. We just did the interview with him just in front of his truck there.
Okay, that's one, Jim. And now let's take a look at this one. That, does this have any sound? I guess not. Well, let me. No, it's silent, but for the radio side of things, there's footage of a mile-long line of trucks about to get ready to block everything. Right now they're on the side of the road, but clearly they're primed to It's easily, you know, a mile long. Okay, so
the public needs to understand that these are restrictions on truckers coming from Canada into the U.S. and vice versa is enormous, because truckers haul like 80 to 90% of all the supplies that appear in our grocery stores, our hardware stores,
right,
everywhere else. The vast majority of foodstuff is transported by trucks. So that when the Biden administration is cutting down on the supply chain, and they're doing it as a deliberate act of policy, this is not
right.
circumstantial. This is not organic.
Right.
It did not simply happen. Where Giuseppe, we previously reported a deputy secretary of the Treasury declaring that the supply problems will not be resolved until every American gets the vax. You can see how coercive this administration has become in manipulating the public with all kinds of phony information and threats, including their mandates and their declaration of OSHA, which it takes, as I've observed in the past, between the time one of these constitutional and illegal actions is undertaken, say by Biden, by an executive order, and the time it reaches the courts to be declared unconstitutional is when all the mischief occurs. They knew going in, Giuseppe, that those mandates were unconstitutional, but they went ahead with them anyway in the hope it would instill fear in the public to take the jab, where they have no authority whatsoever over the health of the American people. I mean, it is repulsive what's gone on with this administration, and it's, in my opinion, heroic and admirable to see these truckers in Canada undertaking a massive protest.
Absolutely. 100% agree with everything you're saying, Jim. And I have another clip from a Canadian trucker that will, I'm sure, accentuate the point.
Okay, guys, when is enough enough? January 23rd. I say we start a slow roll across Canada. If you're trucking, it's time to say enough. Come on, guys, we can do this. We can get together. We can bring Canada to its fucking knees if we have to. Not saying anybody has to die, but enough is enough. We got e-logs, we got carbon, we got borders, we got mandates, we got passports, we got all that sort of shit on the plate right now. When the fuck is enough enough? I say it's 23rd of January. Wherever you are, message me, share this, stitch this, duet this, whatever you have to do, and we'll get all those guys out there saying it'll never happen. It'll never happen if you have that fucking attitude. Stop it right now. Let's do this. I've had enough. This fucking country needs to be taken back. 23rd of January. Let's say 12 noon. Wherever you are, shut the trucks down. Shut them down on the fucking highways and let's get it.
Wow. There you go.
I think that's just terrific, Giuseppe.
Yeah.
I love it. I absolutely love it. Yeah, good. You've got more. Yes.
Well,
it looks like an epic time story.
No, this is from a place called Your News Know Everything. I've never seen them before, but that I'll have to check it out later. But let's see if this woman has let's see if this one has any sound. Nah, she's filming just with no audio. But I'll find some more but Jim, you know, the point being that the last guy who was clearly must be a French Canadian since he's fluent in French is sharing the frustration of every actual human. I mean, this whole scamdemic, and next week we've got a phenomenal guest in Christine Massey who has, you know, tried to use the Freedom of Information Act and other to prove that there's never been a virus isolated known as SARS-CoV-2. It's a form of a gain of function synthetic genetic bioweapon that, you know, clearly they can distribute and sicken and kill people. Our dear brother Dave Gaharie got the bioweapon and he fought tooth and nail for his life. And it's great news that he's getting a little better every day, which is really, really wonderful. Keep praying for Dave Gaharie and sending him healing energy. And but the thing is, Jim, is the public has been entranced and entrained for so long to obey the criminal cabals. The captain of all captains, the Capu di Tutti Capi, is the Rothschild globalist bank, central banking cabal. That's the leader. But then there are just a number of just murderous parasitic entities like big pharma, big agri, big chemical, sadly now big government and big education. And all of them are essentially criminally run organizations, all working in unison under the guidance and instruction of the Rothschild Synagogue of Satan to steer this world away from nation states towards a one world government. They call it the Great Reset, the New World Order, Build Back Better, with small bees representing 666, because these lunatic psychopaths are Satanists through and through, and really operate amorally, psychopathically. And if the great masses don't wake up, and especially in Canada, I mean, it's tragic what's happened to Canada. You know, 50, 60 years ago, they had no national debt. They didn't have a Rothschild central bank, and they were literally infected by the internationalist Jew cancer, and the country was taken over without a shot being fired. It was so tragic, and now they've got this installed globalist puppet, Castro's illegitimate son, Justin Trudeau, who is just such a wimp, such a puppet of the globalists, and yet he's dropping the hammer on these people. It's time for the Canadians to rise up, just like the Europeans must rise up, just like Americans must rise up, just like Mexicans, anyone must rise up who's under the enslavement of this evil empire.
Oh, I couldn't agree more, Giuseppe, and there are two other large stories I want to share. The first is huge breaking news. A Wisconsin assembly votes to advance Representative Ramson's resolution to reclaim Wisconsin's electors for president and vice president that were certified under fraudulent purposes. I mean, get this, Giuseppe. They want to rescind the votes, the electoral votes Wisconsin cast in 2020. The Wisconsin Assembly voted unanimously in a privileged resolution to move forward Representative Ramton's resolution to reclaim Wisconsin's 10 electors for U.S. president and vice president who are certified under fraudulent purposes. The legislation will now move forward to the Wisconsin Rules Committee and to the Wisconsin Senate. How it happened, Representative Timothy Ramton bravely called for a point of order on Tuesday during an open session of the Wisconsin Assembly. He did this, meaning we're talking about yesterday, by asking for a privileged resolution. His legislation was referred to the Rules Committee for Parliamentary Rules. Then debate continued on an existing bill in the Assembly. The resolution was privileged. This way, they were able to do a vote within the session that was currently in place, and the result was all yes, a unanimous vote to move the legislation to the Rules Committee. It's in the hands of Speaker Vos, a Republican, but he turns out to be a rhino. This Vos has actually tried to trash Ramton for his efforts here. He even deprived him of his staff. So this Vos, whom Trump has also spoken out to condemn, is a dirty bird. He's trying to undermine all of this. Speaker Vos and the rest of the representatives have 10 days to answer back on whether he's going to push it to the floor for a vote. It's not clear what the Wisconsin Senate will do with it yet. We have a copy of the joint resolution. Representative Ramton used the rule book, used the Constitution, and was fearless. He went out there in front of everybody, stopped the session, and said, I'm a legislator, and I want you to hear this because that's what my constituents are asking me to do. The Assembly voted on the revolution to have passage to the Rules Committee to get an opinion to move forward. They could have tabled it. They didn't even have to hear it. But because it was found privileged, they had no choice. And now the legislation moves to the Rules Committee. So it moves to the next level. It's still alive. We'll see what happens in the Rules Committee led by Robin Vose. It's not a done deal, but it's the first time in Wisconsin history a state representative has moved to reclaim Wisconsin's 10 electoral ballots. His office is kicking butt and needs to be supported and thanked for doing the right thing for the people of Wisconsin and America. Regardless of where the resolution goes from here, Representative Rampton has always kept his word to the people of Wisconsin, and it turns out there are ways you can assist by reaching out to the Rules Committee members, asking them to put the resolution through. You can call a legislative hotline in Madison, and this is area code 608, dial 266-9960, area code 608-266-9960, or toll free, call 1-800-362-9472, 1-800-362-9472. That's in order to express your opinion in support of this bill. I think it's fabulous. It's gone this far so far, and I wish him well. But I'm telling you right now, the fact is that Robin Vose is a despicable cat in my judgment, and I have been so puzzled to get this sorted out, the role of Vose here. But it appears since you see him taking away all the staff of this magnificent representative that Voss is obviously on the wrong side, Giuseppe. It's unbelievable how many cads are out there in political office who want to undermine the will of the people and sabotage democracy.
Well, Jim, that's exactly right. I mean, everybody focuses on the Soros lackey, who is the money spigot for the Rothschild criminal cabal, even down to local school board and district attorney elections. But what people don't understand is there is no independent party, and people like Robin Vose and this retiring GOP Republican in name only, chairman of Wisconsin Rules Committee, Jim Steinke, says zero chance I will pass Representative Rampton's resolution to decertify 2020 elections. And that's Joe Hoft at the Gateway Pundit, who broke the story yesterday about, or 2 days ago, about Rampton being a clever parliamentarian and getting it through that early committee. And now you can see these traitorous weasels in the Wisconsin legislature scrambling to do anything to stay in good standing with the Rothschild synagogue of Satan, so they can continue to be reelected through the clearly rigged elections every couple of years for these people, or every 4 years. I'm not sure if they're 2 or 4 year in the state legislature, but either way, traitors. I mean, here the voting majority of the state of Wisconsin, where I was born and raised, there's only two major pockets of liberal voting, libtard voting. That's Milwaukee, the actual county of Milwaukee, and Madison, Dane County. And then there's some pockets around the other University of Wisconsin school system, the university system, but that's because you've got the classic liberal academic types. But really, the majority of people voted for Donald Trump in Wisconsin. He won easily, but like we saw in so many states, Arizona, Michigan, Georgia, North Carolina, and others, the voting was stolen, literally, through Dominion hacking and physical. We saw the video when we covered it a year and a half ago of the video in Michigan of the woman saying, okay, everybody go home, we're going to take a break, and she reaches under the table for bins of phony ballots, all printed to give Biden thousands and thousands of votes. So, I mean, they're desperate. Anyone who is bought off, like clearly Steinke and Vose are bought off by the money that controls the Republican Party, which is the same money that controls the Democratic Party. So that it is disappointing, Jim. At some point, something has to give, because this should, in the first world, republics should have a voting system that honors the will of the people. And clearly it doesn't happen in Canada, doesn't happen in the United States, doesn't happen in any European nation presently. So it's time for the white kids to get angry and take back their countries.
Well, get this. In the Wisconsin State Journal, to which I subscribe to keep track of the local coverage, where it's just disintegrated since I moved to Wisconsin in 2006, there's nothing about this issue before the state legislature, nothing about it, Giuseppe. But if you scroll down to the bottom of the page, there's an unbelievable attack on Ron Johnson for having his second opinion panel. And let me just give you a bit of the flavor of this. They don't acknowledge the credentials of the individuals that he has, except in a lukewarm fashion. Here it is. Fact check. Ron Johnson's second opinion panel. Senator promoting options for COVID, Washington, D.C. U.S. Senator Ron Johnson on Monday convened a group of doctors and scientists who've been criticized for spreading COVID-19 misinformation to get a second opinion on the health issues facing Americans because of the pandemic. Unlike until COVID, a fundamental principle of medicine was, when dealing with a serious illness, to get a second opinion, maybe even a third, Johnson said. Today is about getting that long overdue second opinion. Immediately after Johnson's panel, the Committee to Protect Healthcare, advocacy group aligned with the Democrats, of course, held a Zoom call with Wisconsin doctors to criticize the senator for spreading misinformation, when what he was reporting is actually highly accurate. Senator Johnson has done this before. This isn't news, said Bob Friedland, an ophthalmologist from La Crosse. Senator Johnson continues to give a megaphone to notorious COVID-19 misinformation doctors, and they go on to talk about some of the doctors, but don't identify them properly. I mean, it's a scurrilous performance, which made the front page. For example, they talk about Robert Malone. Notable attendees included Dr. Robert Malone, a doctor and infectious disease researcher removed from Twitter for spreading COVID-19 misinformation. Not mentioning that Dr. Robert Malone invented the mRNA technology, Giuseppe. I mean, this is just disgusting beyond belief. If you want to see a perfect example of propaganda, you've got it in this article, which I suggest we go through in spades and talk about each of the issues, because they're talking about what was presented there, all of which appears to be accurate and true, and seeking to debunk it with falsehoods.
Absolutely, Jim. The tragedy of the scandemic, also known as the plandemic, is that we now see in full blossoming glory the advent of triumphant scientism, which is the pseudo-religious cult that believes Big Pharma actually uses science to determine that injecting experimental toxic poisonous brews, literally they are brewed, all these injections are brewed in microbreweries, that big vats like a microbrewery would use, that is somehow beneficial to health. Well, the only science that I pay attention to these days when it comes to vaccination is forensic science. I saw that the death jab injection killed my 13-week-old nephew. I saw that it damaged my wife in childhood and leaving her a lifetime of health issues and inability to bear my children. I've seen my dear friends have autistic children that are like walking zombies instead of functional, loving adults. I've seen the number of autism, the daywalking zombies used to be 50, 60 years ago, 1 in 10,000. It's now down to about 1 in 40 and soon to be 1 in 10, soon to be 1 in 2 in our lifetime because they are being poisoned by the synagogue of Satan, Jew jabs. This is driven entirely by the so-called, as Henry Ford called them, the international Jew. And you look at Pfizer, its CEO, a Jew named Albert Bourla, is a veterinarian and not a very good one because his quack concoctions murdered millions of livestock and cattle. But that allowed him to climb the ladder and become the CEO of Pfizer, and suddenly a veterinarian understands human physiology. It's such a laugh, Jim. You could go down the demonic subhumans who are involved with Moderna. I mean, you can go down and down the list. And who funds that? The demonic internationalist Jew, Larry Fink, behind BlackRock, the demonic Jew whose real name is probably Shlomo Lipschitz, but he took the East Coast blue blood name of Mortimer Buckley, the Jew who runs Vanguard. So, Jim, this is just an unbelievable trickle-down effect of the synagogue of Satan.
Oh, I couldn't agree more, Giuseppe, and I know we're on the verge of our break. My proposal would be that we go through the various arguments they report having been made and what they claim is the debunking. So we'll see. We can evaluate what takes place here in this despicable piece of non-journalism, which is brought to us by an outfit called MEDIL, Medial News Service, might mean media ill. You know, this is ill media, bad media, disgusting. It's a crime news service, no doubt, just for the purpose of debunking. I wouldn't be surprised if it were brought to us compliments of the CIA. But the Rothschilds have plenty of influence to manipulate all these outcomes, and you can count on Rothschild dollars motivating, paying for all kinds of disinformation and propaganda to mislead the American people, of which this appears to be a stellar instance. We'll return right after this break, where Giuseppe and I will review the bidding here about Ron Johnson's A Second Opinion. Right here, the man I'm very proud of, he's representing my right.
Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio, 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 Radio.
Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Radio every Wednesday 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Giuseppe, before we turn to this attempt at debunking of the reports and testimony from bona fide experts at Ron Johnson's Second Opinion Conference, Mitchell's picked up a key point. He'd like to contribute a new technique they're using.
Oh, okay.
Hey, we're back. We're back.
Oh, okay. Good deal.
Where's Jim?
You don't hear Jim now, Mitch?
I don't hear Jim. Did it drop?
No, okay. Hold on. I can fix that. Hold on.
I don't hear Jim. I got you. But okay. I lost everything.
How about now? Jim, are you there? Can you hear him now?
No, I don't hear Jim.
Huh.
He was talking and then just went boom, went away.
Okay, that's odd. Okay, let me.
We should be in the studio now. Or, I mean, we're hearing. I don't know. Maybe you need to reconnect Jim to your call.
Yep, I'm doing it right now.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, Jim was talking and it clicked out, and I went back in and I looked. I looked up and
okay,
our
how's
studio
that? Can
was
you
on
hear,
hold.
Can you hear? Go ahead, Jim. Can you hear him now?
Jim, I see him trying to talk, but I don't hear him.
Oh, that's really weird.
But I got you.
Okay. How?
It must be somewhere on the StreamYard end with audio routing somehow. Maybe
yeah,
Jim's muted.
No, he's there. I hear him in my headphones. Well, let me try and do this again. I mean, that's weird. It was working fine.
Yeah.
Am I okay? So that I'm in the call. There's you. You just talked.
Yeah, right, we're talking. We should be on air.
Let's share the screen again. Okay, so there. Yeah, no kidding, Jim. Let me try again. And then.
Yeah, we're hot. We're on air. So I'm just kind of peeked back in.
Can you hear Jim now? Yeah. Mitchell?
No. No,
you
I don't
still
hear
can't
Jim
hear
now.
Him? That's
no.
that's
can you hear
bizarre.
Jim?
I hear him fine. Yeah, yeah. He's coming through fine.
But I don't hear him on the call. That's the thing.
Yeah, I know. If
we heard him on the call, we would hear him in our headsets. That's what I'm thinking.
Right. I keep trying to disconnect and reconnect the two programs, and typically that will always fix it. Maybe you should knock me off the call and call me again.
All right, I'll knock you off the call and give you a call. Okay.
Yeah, let's try that.
All right, everybody. Hey, this is Mitch. This is happens once in a while. When you have a live show and you're producing it live, well, there are technical glitches somewhere along the way. And shit happens. Sometimes it's just a switcher or a router somewhere. Sometimes it's government interference. Hey, there you are.
Here I am. Let's see if this will work now. So here comes Jim. And then let me share this. Okay, go ahead, Jim.
Okay, good. Just
hey, there he is. All right.
All right. That was it. When somebody hacked Skype and you saw it on hold and he dropped, they messed up Skype. So we had to essentially reconnect me. All right, great. We're back in the saddle.
Well, let me reiterate the first, you know, they're doing this with a claim versus fact, right? So the claim is implicitly false. The first that they address is the COVID virus is not spread from an asymptomatic person to another asymptomatic person, said Dr. Peter McCullough, former vice chief of internal medicine at Baylor University Medical Center, who was sued for illegitimately representing himself as a Baylor employee while promoting misinformation about COVID-19. Well, he's by their own admission a former Baylor employee. He was at the Baylor University Medical Center. Everyone who is on the faculty of one of these institutions is an independent contractor. They speak only for themselves. Only the administration speaks for the institution. So what was he doing that was, illegitimately representing himself? That's ridiculous. I've had the
Jim,
claim made. Yeah.
Let me interject. Baylor University is a major, major vaccine development center, and it's run by this total big pharma trained chimpanzee named Peter Hotez, who is notorious for agreeing to debate Robert Kennedy Jr. and the other vaccine, Del Bigtree, and their doctors. And when they showed up at the debate, Hotez and the others who had agreed to do it didn't show up. They were cowards and their retort is the science is settled. So the fact that McCullough used to be drinking the big pharma vaccination Kool-Aid and he's woken up is stunning because he was a devotee. He was a priest in the scientism cult of the magic jab. So the idea that they're lamenting that he is promoting disinformation is laughable.
Yeah, it's absurd. I mean, look, Peter McCullough, and I had the opportunity to appear on a panel with Peter McCullough in relation to the Los Angeles Unified School District, a group of teachers and administrators who were upset about what was going on there, is the most widely cited medical expert in the United States, if not in the world. So this is a nice example of them suppressing positive information and accenting information while it may be true would appear to be unwarranted, the claim that he was illegitimately representing himself. I've had that attack made on me as though I were speaking for the University of Minnesota when I'm clearly not speaking for the University of Minnesota. I am speaking for myself, but they make it very convenient to not draw the distinction between those who do speak for these institutions or the administrators and those of us on the faculty who speak only for ourselves. Here's what they claim to be the fact of the matter. More than half of transmissions that occur in our communities are occurring by people who have no symptoms, said A.J. Sethi, an associate professor of population health sciences and faculty director of the public health master program at UW-Madison. This is a virus in which people become infectious before the symptoms begin, and for some of those people, the symptoms may never begin. And yet they're infectious while they're asymptomatic.
Jim, a complete, absolute 3-foot pile of steaming horseshit. Because what this muckety muck associate professor of population health science is basing it on is the completely flawed and debunked PCR test. And remember, listeners and viewers, the PCR test can find any little snippet of messenger RNA, and then it processes it and duplicates it and multiplies it exponentially. So if the PCR test wanted to and the CDC wanted to, they could say you all have black plague, you all have Ebola, you all have whatever. It's just a farce. So go ahead, Jim.
Well, that's very good, Giuseppe. Yes. I mean, they take an eminently qualified expert featured by Ron Johnson and try to trivialize his status and bring in an amateur or a falsehood promoter, a propagandist to debunk him. Here's another claim. Dr. Erica Harty, a former professor at the University of California, Irvine School of Medicine, who was fired over his refusal to be vaccinated against COVID-19 and other reasons, notice again, they're smearing him already without giving the opportunity to present his argument, said people with natural immunity, meaning people who have developed antibodies after contracting a virus, cannot be reinfected with COVID-19 or transmit the virus to others. Fact, this is what they claim to be true. While it is true that people may develop antibodies to a virus like COVID-19, a CDC study released in September found 36% of those with prior COVID infection did not produce any antibodies. And that, of course, would have been because they weren't actually infected. It was because they just got a false positive on a PCR. You have to survive COVID in order to walk away with some immunity that can be protective for the future. And how long that protection lasts varies from person to person, Sethi noted. So they're using the same guy, the same associate professor from Population Health Sciences at UW-Madison. He noted the emergence of new variants continues to threaten prior immunity. As stated by the CDC, reinfections do occur after COVID-19. Your thoughts?
Well, what they avoid is the 6,000-pound, 6-ton elephant in the room, which is that the only immunity is natural immunity, and so you need to be exposed to whatever type of communicable pathogen that's going around in the pneumonia, influenza, cold season, the so-called pick season, cold flu season. And then people with a healthy immune system, they're exposed to the antigen. They develop antibodies, and then it never expresses as a true disease, or you just have a mild cold flu. And, right, again, you produce enough antigens, and then when you're exposed to it again, you don't get it. What is actually going on is the death cocktail in the death jab is so full of toxins, and the worst is this experimental gene therapy that hardwires your immune function to try and make antigens and antibodies to the variant, their lab created variant, right? So what happens then is you will never have true immunity, because they are always trying to treat last month's pathogen, and they're constantly mutating. So, and they turn people who are hardwired into typhoid Larrys and typhoid Marys, shedding something, transmitting something, off-gassing something. And so the only solution is a healthy immune system. And then there's people like the doctor in this Epoch Times story who Doctors Organization has treated over 150,000 COVID-19 patients with a 99.99% survival rate. So clearly, you know, he's using Dr. Ben, the fella's name is they blocked me because I don't pay him. Anyway, the point being is there's another clinic like Zelenko who use proven science. Again, the classic science is real. Decent medicine and corporate medicine is real. Use the tools that are known to work: hydrochloroquine, ivermectin, ozone therapy, oxygen therapy, intravenous vitamin C. But these things don't put money and shekels in the pockets of the lies, the priesthood of scientism, which is all big pharma corporate medicine that wants to inject who knows what is actually in those death jabs to create the biggest revenue transfer bubble in the history of the modern economy. It's unbelievable, Jim.
Let's squeeze one more in before the break. Giuseppe, claim. Johnson said the National Institute of Health has told those who test positive for COVID-19 to go home and do nothing. Fact. Patients are told to monitor their symptoms, that if they progress to a point where they need medical attention, people should seek medical attention. The same source said the CDC lists certain warning signs of when to seek emergency medical care. I infer they took what Ron had to say out of context here. Certainly what he said is true, but there was more that was said. I mean, your take on this.
Well, I mean, essentially Ron Johnson is paraphrasing to go home and do nothing just as a matter of making a point, right, that they're not really
– yes.
And they will fact check that. I mean, what a ridiculous garbage. There's no – It's splitting hairs, correct?
It's ignoring the context. Yes. Ignoring the context where an informal remark is treated as though we're supposed to be technically complete and precise. So, you know, I mean, it's just shabby. We have a whole host of others we're going to review. Let me mention, Giuseppe and I want to open the phone line early while we continue our review of the effort here to smear Ron Johnson's second opinion conference. The number where Mitchell will take your call and get you on the air, 540-352-4452. Again, 540-352-4452. Giuseppe, I mean, Ron Johnson did something very, very important here. And in my opinion, it's shameful, disgraceful, that this kind of propaganda is being put out. Ron Johnson is trying to benefit the American people by getting them the facts of the matter from the best experts, and he's got some world-class experts here already in.
We'll be right back after this message.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
Interested in the paranormal, murder mystery, real natural law? Do you enjoy interviews with amazing guests? Then join Fripp Rick every Monday night, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on Revolution Radio. Studio A, freedomslips.com. Crypt Riffs, I've been thinking. Welcome to the Crypt.
Join me at Revolution Radio, Studio B, at 11 a.m. on Saturday for Free Association, when we take a look at philosophy, spirituality, psychology, social issues, and geopolitics. It's every Saturday at 11 a.m. Eastern on Studio B at freedomslips.com.
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven, Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
That's right here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
Galactic Interstellar Council on Revolution Radio Studio A, Fridays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we traverse the starseed paradigm, as expressed in the time-space continuum that we know as the divine expression of love and light. Integrating this conscious unity into the galactic paradigm. So welcome all, both terrestrial beings and galactic beings as one. So be it. You're listening to Revolution Radio.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of this program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Well, before we take our first caller or proceed to review what has happened here in this attempt to smear Ron Johnson's Second Opinion Conference, I'd like to mention we're already experiencing three classic elementary fallacies of which everyone needs to be aware. The first is special pleading, which could also be referred to as the method of selection and elimination. Select the evidence favorable to your point of view and eliminate the rest. Very unscientific, violates principles of rationality, where if you're searching for the truth, you need to consider all the evidence on both sides in order to arrive at a rational opinion. Obviously, special pleading is intended to contradict or sabotage the search for truth to promote a predetermined conclusion. It's frequently used by editorial writers, by politicians, used car salesmen, special pleading. The second is the appeal to authority, which has both a valid and an invalid aspect. If you're appealing to a bona fide authority, that's an appropriate appeal. It means because the authority cited the evidence that it is true or probably true. It doesn't mean the authority has to be incapable of making a mistake. But when you have figures of the quality of Dr. Robert Malone and Dr. Peter McCullough, those are legitimate appeals to authority. Now, here's an example of an illegitimate appeal. My uncle Rolf, the barber, says that childbirth is easy and women who complain are just being silly. Obviously, a guy who's a barber isn't going to be suitably qualified to review the travails of childbirth. In this case, they're being a bit more subtle because they're actually citing persons who have a degree of expertise, such as this guy from UW-Madison, A.J. Sethi, Associate Professor of Population Health Sciences, but where his degree of authority is so much less than those of Malone and of McCullough that really there's no contest. They're trying to pretend, prop him up as though he were an equal level authority. And the third, of course, obviously, is the ad hominem attack, the messenger, the person who presents the evidence or the testimony, rather than the evidence or the testimony itself. We've seen numerous of those already here, talking about, for example, Malone, who was removed from Twitter for spreading COVID-19 misinformation. Well, that was from Twitter's point of view. That doesn't tell us whether what he was providing was accurate or inaccurate. And of course, given his standing, it's overwhelmingly probable what he was presenting was accurate, where they've even suppressed his qualifications as an expert by virtue of being the inventor of mRNA technology. And then in another instance, when they talk about Peter McCullough being sued for illegitimately representing himself as a Baylor employee when he was a Baylor employee, there appears to be nothing illegitimate. And as I've explained, faculty, including at the medical school, speak for themselves as independent contractors. The only individuals who speak for the university are the administrators. So those are three very basic, very common forms of fallacious reasoning that's used to promote a point of view when they don't have legitimate evidence to back it up. Special pleading, appeal to authority, and the ad hominem. Now we have two callers on the line. Brian in Washington is here. Brian, join the conversation.
Good morning.
Yeah.
So let's see. I don't know how much of a Facebook or what I call faceplant fan you are, but it's some of the tools we have. There is a woman named Cindy Niles, spelled just like you would think in Australia. She's out there trying to discuss what is and isn't. A few nights ago, she put up somebody and she was talking derogatorily, calling Malone baloney, misspelling his name on purpose. It got pulled down. This is the battle we're in. We aren't in control of the communication. They have, demonstrated over and over. You say the wrong thing, off you go. So what I've been advocating for is a guy named truthcaster.co in the Philippines. He's interested in people paying once a month to get access to the information he is presenting. So you know that YouTube and the like, it's a huge problem, and this could be a way out of it. I get to throw a couple names out. There's a YouTube channel, Yogi for the Lord, and what he has done is he takes a 5-minute clip from a gentleman who his story is his wife had Lyme disease. He realized that the truth tellers are quite commonly full of baloney, and we're not getting the straight story. So what does he do? He has to go start his own channel where he tears into this kind of thing, and his name is Mark Kulacz, K-U-L-A-C-Z, and his .com is houseatonic, I-T-S.com, on BitChute and Odyssey. So I thought it was fairly interesting, and Giuseppe, you might be interested in this if you follow this rabbit trail of which I am discussing. This 5-minute little blip is saying, well, here's Judy Mikovits, who might very well know Fauci a lot better than you think. In other words, according to this guy, he's saying that, you know, they have two options in the future. One is they're going to not jab anybody, and the other is that they're going to jab them with synthetic vaccinations, which Judy Mikovits has a dog in that fight. That's simply what this Mark Kulacz is pointing out. But this is just where it begins. There is a huge number of examples of misinformation being put out there. For instance, a article, Who is David E. Martin? Question mark. And again, Judy Mikovits is mentioned. This R.F. Kennedy Jr. is also praised by a lot of people. And, you know, Del Bigtree was mentioned as well. But what I'm trying to get across here is that the thing that R.F. Kennedy Jr. has is that his head of his legal team for children's defense is talking communitarian code speak when she says we have to balance the rights of the individual against the rights of the collective. This is in front of the UN in 2016. Available on YouTube.
Brian, you're being a little bit too circumlocutious. You need to get direct to the point. We all know YouTube is censored. Facebook, I got blocked out of my way. I've had hundreds of videos taken down by YouTube. Twitter, my account was annihilated overnight. That's why we have BitChute, why we have Rumble, why we have 153news.net now. It seems to me what you're implying is that Bobby Kennedy Jr. is engaged in some kind of disinformation campaign or promoting a communitarian or a communist point of view. Just come out and say it. Don't beat around the bush.
Yeah, I would say that. And in addition, well, that is exactly the case with Mary Holland. She is pushing it. Fauci's wife is pushing communitarianism. If you know what this subject is, if you looked into it and you listened to Fauci speak, you know the greater good and the collective is going to be running you and what you do. And
look,
when
well,
hold on, hold
right.
on, hold on. The Greater Reset is coming up January 26th. This is David Brose. And what is he but a communitarian? This is not the solution to the problem we're in, and yet it's a universal. Everybody is pushing this as the solution, and, you know, the community gardens are a great idea. However, it's going to have these tentacles, and, you know, I'm into trying to not get burned out of Western Washington, but do you think I can get anybody interested in creating charcoal for their vegetable garden while they forest manage? No, because everybody's waiting for the grants and all of the programs and the Carbon Conservation Corps of little kids that are all going to come out and volunteer. No communitarian tentacles in all this solution. Of course there is. That's all there is.
Brian.
End of rant.
Yeah. Well, you need to work on your talking points. This has been so circuitous. It's been very difficult to sort out what you were trying to say. I think you have a point, but I do not think you made your point clearly or well. Giuseppe, your thoughts.
Well, we have another caller. Bruce from Texas, are you there?
Hey, can you do me one favor?
I don't know. What is it?
Don't forget. Just say, I'm going to say, how you doing, Giuseppe? And you say, living the dream.
Sure, I can do that.
Okay, how you doing, Giuseppe?
Living the dream.
Yeah, it's the clown world dream.
My God, it is. It's a dream as in a dystopic nightmare. That's the joke of it all, right?
They call it the American dream because you got to be asleep to believe.
Right.
Yeah, I'm feeling a little scatterbrained today, and I don't know if you have any other callers lined up. So I'm just going to throw some stuff and see what y'all want to do with it. Neil Young, how about him? He wants to deplatform Joe Rogan. He said either he gets off Spotify or I'm going to take my material off Spotify.
Bye-bye. Young, bye-bye. We like your music, but we don't like your politics and your ignorance of science and medicine. Kiss my ass. Good riddance.
Kiss my ass, exactly.
Plus, he's a hypocrite because champions. They did a tour, Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young, in the second decade. I think it was 2016, the free speech tour. So all of a sudden, Neil's against free speech, right? Jeez.
Let me chime in real quick.
Oh, Mitchell, go ahead.
Don't forget, Neil Young doesn't even own his own music portfolio anymore, so he's just talking squat.
I know that's probably true. And also, Joe Rogan's probably like 10 times bigger than he is on Spotify, so guess what business decision they're going to make? Unless they're influenced from the outside, you know, Bruce, they get leveraged.
Bruce, go ahead. Point.
Yeah. Another point. I just noticed across the street here from my business place, and they've been setting up for a couple of days now. Have y'all seen them? These little portable COVID-19 testing sites where they set up a tent.
Yeah.
And they'll have the smocks on, and they'll set it up without no PPE on at all. You know, in the morning, and then they get dressed in their costumes. You know, they put up a sign. Free COVID-19 testing PCR, and also in Spanish, too, you know. And they sit there for hours and hours, and nobody stops, you know. And then once in a while, you'll see somebody. Sometimes they'll get tested, sometimes they won't. And I'm trying to figure out, are they making money? Is the federal government paying them to do this, just to sit there? Like, there must be some kind of a program, you know. It's so ridiculous.
Yes, there's grant programs that were put out there. And don't forget, anybody who got, is it under 150,000 COVID bailout money, they get, it's a grant. They don't have to pay any of it back. So all those loans are, yeah.
And they turned up the money machine to pay for all this. And then, hey, hyperinflation, how did that happen? It must be because there's no truck drivers. You know, it must be because people don't want to work anymore. I heard that one. you know, because people don't want to work now, you know, to try to find a job. I get regular job notices from Indeed and et cetera, and I've noticed that the hourly rate is actually going down.
Bruce,
for position.
Anyway,
your point.
I'll let y'all go. That's all. I'm just going to say hi, basically.
Okay. We're always glad to hear from you, Bruce. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Steffi, I want to return to the claims and the rebuttals that are attempted here. Here's the claim. Dr. Harvey Reich, professor of epistemology, epidemiology at Yale School of Public Health and Yale School of Medicine, who, by the way, is an eminent authority, said when hydroxychloroquine is used as early treatment for COVID-19, it can produce a 50% reduced risk of hospitalization and a 75% reduced risk of mortality. We know even the article published in Virology back in 2005 described hydroxychloroquine as a miracle cure for COVID, that it'll cure it if you got it, it'll prevent it if you don't. So how are they going to rebut Harvey Reich? Here's their effort. I'm not sure where that data is coming from, said this associate professor. The scientific consensus, and that's an appeal to authority, a group authority as a scientific consensus where that's supposed to absolve you from presenting more proof, is that hydroxychloroquine is not a valid treatment for COVID. Hydroxychloroquine, typically used to treat malaria, was first approved under emergency use authorization by the FDA for treating COVID in March of 2020. On June 15th, the FDA canceled its recommendation as for finding the medication was unlikely to be effective at treating COVID and resulted in some serious side effects, such as irregular heartbeat, according to the National Library of Medicine. To my knowledge, that's complete bullshit, Giuseppe. This is just getting more and more disgraceful and disgusting. Your thoughts?
Well, in Italian, the word parrot is papagayo, and this fella, Associate Professor Sethi is a nobody. He's a papagayo. I mean, just the way the scientific consensus, that is not the scientific consensus by any means. That is the big pharma trained marionette consensus or controlled marionette consensus. And again, using all the lies the serious side effects such as irregular heartbeat, according to the National Library of Medicine. Well, what he should have mentioned, if he were a real scientist, a real investigator, he should have mentioned how the intentionally rigged studies done by British and American so-called respectable entities that gave these poor patients such high doses that it killed some. And it was, you know, again, this is used early on to stimulate immune function to fight off the big pharma bioweapons. So it's just absurd. They are so desperate to steer the goyim cattle into taking the injection that they, you know, again, every one of Ron Johnson's authorities is a real authority. I mean, McCullough, heavy hitter, Reich, heavy hitter, but all the diaper wearing student journalists can come up with is an associate professor who's just a papagayo, a parrot, who's just parroting the gaslighting lies of the CDC and the government. It's insane.
Here's another very parallel claim. Dr. Pierre Corey, a vocal advocate for the off-label use of ivermectin, said the drug has been shown to help treat COVID in other parts of the world, claiming it could help to solve the pandemic. Fact, so they allege. When tested in a lab, there was evidence that COVID virus can be killed by ivermectin, but at such as high toxic levels that they can't be given to people, Sethi said. That just became a myth that ivermectin is something that could be used to treat COVID. It's not. Well, I've been treated with ivermectin. You've taken ivermectin. Ivermectin has been used to resolve the problem in India and Japan and around the world. So this is just calamitous bullshit. Giuseppe, I'm embarrassed. This guy doesn't deserve to be on the faculty of the University of Wisconsin-Madison.
Yeah, but in the real world, Jim, but in clown world, this is exactly who gets to be associate professors, the trained little lapdogs for Big Pharma. Jim, we have another caller, Scott from San Diego. Scott, are you there?
Indeed. And by the way, assistant professors are hired as it were on probation, where you have 6 years to make your case, and then they decide whether or not to promote you to tenure. Associate professors have tenure, which is equivalent to a permanent appointment absent certain special circumstances, such as committing a crime of moral turpitude and so forth. So there's a very important distinction between the assistant and the associate. The full professors generally have research accomplishments far greater than those of assistant or associates, where the assistant has the opportunity to show his success in publication and research in order to warrant being promoted to associate. Scott in San Diego, yes, join the conversation.
Hey, guys, what's up? Good conversation here. Hey, just a kind of like a little sidetrack here. I'm curious, has anybody noticed that the people that are advocating for healthcare as a right are the same people that are saying that you shouldn't get medical treatment if you don't take the shot?
Yeah.
I mean, isn't that just a clear example of what happens with socialized healthcare? I mean, you're going to be, have to jump through hoops. And it's not about healthcare. It's about control and monitoring. What other types of life decisions that these people don't agree with would they like to deny? You know, what about fat people? Oh, you eat too much and you don't deserve healthcare. You know, with smokers, of course, you smoke. Oh, you just crawl in the corner and die. You know, I mean, it's just all these touchy-feely, caring people.
A guy on the faculty of NYU by the name of Arthur Kaplan, I've known for decades when he was at the University of Minnesota, who's advocating restricting health alternatives to those who are unvaxxed, that they should pay for more for life insurance, health insurance. This is grotesque. He seems to be so abysmally ignorant, he doesn't understand that he's advocating violations of the Nuremberg Code, of the Rome Statute, and is abdicating his responsibility as a medical ethicist by advocating immoral and unethical treatment or attitudes toward the public. I have written to the president and other administrators of his medical unit that this man has to have his performance reviewed because he's abusing his position. It's really outrageous and disgusting, where I was able to reinforce my case since discovering that the complaint had been filed by the International Criminal Court, championed by Dr. Michael Yeardon, who is a former vice president for Pfizer, about the grotesque effects. There's a lengthy lawsuit here. You can find where Joseph Mercola on my blog at jamesfetzer.org has a very nice summary of the case, and we can actually download the complaint in the second reference at the bottom of the article. So go to jamesfetzer.org. Robert Mercola, will these people be tried for genocide? And scroll down to the bottom to the second reference, and you can download the, as I recall, 46-page complaint. It is a fascinating document, just chock full of facts of the kind that the miscreants we're seeing here, who are seeking to debunk Ron Johnson's second opinion conference, would never acknowledge, but are the basis for the criminal complaint, where investigations are now taking place in the UK because it was lodged specifically against Boris Johnson, Anthony Fauci, Bill and Melinda Gates, the CEOs of Pfizer, Moderna, AstraZeneca, J&J, the Secretary General of the World Health Organization, and the presidents of Rockefeller Foundation.
Oh, man. Losing you to the commercial
break.
Thank you.
Listen to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, and we'll be right back after this message.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Join Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes? That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and freedomslips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
I think Scott said Eagles front figure. He wanted to leap right in. Go ahead, Scott. Give us your thoughts.
Well, I just have one last observation and a request. Could you – you said you're going to have Peter McAuliffe on next month?
Yes.
Could you try to remember to ask him – try to pin him down on the progress of variants – how often and how uniformly these viruses mutate, because I'm curious how this thing can mutate all around the world simultaneously at once. You had the Delta, and then it simultaneously mutates into Omicron. From my understanding, this thing mutates each time it passes through somebody. So how can it be uniformly changing like this?
Oh, that's an excellent point, Scott. Peter McCullough is just an expert across the board. I think Giuseppe's probably in the position to answer that already himself. Giuseppe? You're muted.
All right. Thanks for that. Excellent point, Scott. Isn't it insightful that it turns out the dates and names of the so-called variants were released half a year to a year before anything even happened, and you do have this constant mutation. Once you inject, 5 to 10 trillion protein spikes into some poor sap who takes the death jab, and so there is no uniformity of mutation. You've got countless Typhoid Larrys and Typhoid Marys off-gassing who knows what. So this is all a scam, and that's a great point. And I will remember to ask Dr. Peter McCullough, why is it that they could determine all the variants before anything even happened? It's ridiculous.
Yeah, I think that's very good. Good questions. We have another caller on the line.
I got to go. Thanks for taking my call, guys.
Yeah, have a good one, Scott.
Got it, Scott. Paul from California, join the conversation, Paul.
Well, here we are. Sometimes I think about if there's somebody up there, looking over us, some watchers or caretakers, or God. I mean, a friend of mine, he's very, very Catholic, and, we get into it all the time. And I was born and raised Catholic. I have an attachment to the, to the upbringing and to the rituals. But, he was telling me how we need to have faith. I need to have faith. We all need to have faith. And I said, well, okay, in what? Faith in what? I mean, in ourselves. Faith in not science, right? Faith in God, okay, fine. But that's kind of more like your personal relationship with God, right? So I basically said to him, I said, faith that God's gonna do something to help us? I mean, I don't have any evidence for that. I mean, when you look back at history, if it's all true what they say about God, he just kind of stands by and lets everything happen. So I look at this thing and I say to myself, okay, what's the difference between now and when I started calling in, I think 5 years ago, something like that, 5 or 6 years maybe. And it's just worse. It's worse and worse and worse and worse. It's like a drip, 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 drip. They just wear you out. Yesterday's, story in the San Jose paper is the proposal now for California legislature to disallow all personal vaccine exemptions and require all students in schools to be vaccinated. And, they were careful to say that if it takes effect, it will take effect in 2023. So there it is, despite what Boris Johnson and, other people are doing in other countries, this assault against us will continue. It will continue unabated until the cause and the source of it is permanently removed. And, they're just, when you look around and you think about this stuff, you just say to yourself, there's no end to the ruin that Jews will have on any society. We just can't let them near any society that we build or inhabit. It's just, it's not only not worth it, it's just insane, because they will always do the same thing, destroy and weaponize, what should be a system for our benefit against us. I mean, I can't be the only one that will be afraid to go to the hospital. I haven't been feeling very well the last few days. I've had something similar to a friend of mine, also another guy, so two different people I know, were loss of appetite, a mild nausea, chills and fever and this sort of a thing.
And there just isn't any way that I would go to see anybody about this. Why would I not do that? Well, because I'd be scared to death to go to the medical system.
Exactly.
It's like, I mean, going to the court. Who wants to go to courts now? I mean, does anybody feel like you're going to get justice in the courts? It's just insane. I was listening earlier when Brian called in, and I had this question in my mind. I said, hey, Brian, so if we have an authoritarian state and a single party, the National Socialist Party, and one candidate on the ballot, Adolf Hitler, is that communitarianism? I don't know what this communitarianism
is. I thought the distinction between Jews generally, the Torah Jews, the Orthodox Jews, and the Zionists who follow the Talmud and who believe in Jewish superiority, I know you have resisted, but you recognize the distinction.
How can we tell?
Can we tell what they believe? That the Rothschilds are behind manipulating, promoting the whole event by virtue of discovering patents for COVID-19 testing systems in 2015 in the Netherlands, then in 2017 in the United States, specifically designed for COVID-19 testing, when we have been told that the name didn't even originate until years later, but where the patents were not to be released to the public until 2020. That's about as strong a smoking gun as I think we could have, that the Rothschilds have been behind this entire enterprise, and it's disgusting. So, you know, I agree with the spirit of what you say. I simply draw that distinction between generally and the Zionists specifically.
Okay, I know, but how can you tell the difference between a Torah Jew and a Talmud Jew? How can you tell what it is they think or believe? And this is ultimately a biological issue. That's all it is. It's been articulated very well. There's a guy, I don't know if he'd ever make an appearance with you, but Kevin Alfred Strom, you know, he did one of the best things I've ever heard probably about a year and a half or 2 years ago about the biological nature of our problem. So, you know, again, it's just like the difference between, two different species of birds. Okay, I mean, you're going to get into what the other species of bird thinks and believes. It's just, to me, I look at this thing and I say to myself, okay, does anybody need anything that comes out of a needle to be healthy? And the answer is no. We don't need anything that comes out of a needle to be healthy or safe. This is the problem. And, you know, I've been watching a lot more videos the last week or two, and there's so much great material out there. It's almost limitless. And there was this one that talked about the medical system that we had here, and there was this whole movement in the late 1800s that, of course, was destroyed by the Rockefellers and the Carnegies and the Flexner Report, and, you know, where they killed essentially the medical school system that we had in this country. And when you see, we've been down this road before. I mean, vaccination has been around for a very long time, and it's always done the same thing. It's always made people sick. It's always killed people, right? It's like, when is enough enough? And we're still dealing with these brain-dead idiots, like Giuseppe says all the time, these weak-minded people that believe the Jew. That's the problem, okay? First of all, that the Jew exists in our society and has control over information and propaganda. And then the other biggest problem is that people believe them. Now, I have spent some amount of time being angry. I'm trying to let it go. I'm trying to be less of an angry person. There's sometimes I just say to myself, what's the point, you know? I mean, after a while, it's like, okay, it doesn't do you any good. But, you know, it's hard not to be mad at my fellow Americans or my fellow human beings because they believe such obvious nonsense and some evil, evil, nasty, devious shit. It's like, what can I do? I can't stop them. But we can do something about the Jew that is in power, lying to us all, lying to them, getting them to believe, turning them against us. Because this thing is nothing without the cooperators. right? Without these people cooperating, these people have no power at all, zero.
Well, Paul, I published a lot about biology and behavior, including the differences between genetic evolution and cultural in my book, The Evolution of Intelligence. And Kevin MacDonald, whom I regard very highly, has done a lot of work on the group strategy, the group evolutionary strategy that has been employed by Jews to benefit other Jews in order to promote their interests. It's very much like Skull and Bones writ large, where members of Skull and Bones dedicate themselves to promoting the interests of other members of Skull and Bones to considerable success because they're fairly highly positioned and in influential standing in our American community. So, you know, I acknowledge a great deal of merit in the points you're making, even though I would express them ever so slightly differently. And I suspect Giuseppe would share those sentiments as well. Yours, Giuseppe.
Well, I think I'm more somewhere between you and Paul, but leaning far more closer to Paul. I think what we're dealing with is a 6,000-year-old, just vicious, brutal death cult, sacrifices children, has all kinds of blood rituals. And this has been going on since the antediluvial times. You know, it started out with the Canaanites. Once civilization began to rebuild in Babylon, they, as the great Eustace Mullins documented, they then went and reformed under a different name as the Phoenicians with a PH. Then they had that run. Then they went to the Venetians, V-E-N, and had that run. It's always been for 6,000 years like a cancer that they are, a satanic cancer, eating in and taking control of the empire in power's money system via usury and getting and placing a handful of key operatives in mid-level positions. For example, in Rome, when Rome was controlled by the Caesars, they were the ones who would be willing to do the tax collection, and they were the ones who were willing to deal with the dead bodies and what have you. And so what you get then is you use this vile parasitic usury to amass power to suddenly you've got a chicken swinger who is the Caesar at the end. And similarly, it happened in Egypt. It happened in the Ottoman Empire. It's happened in every empire. And in America, the United States is a farcical empire. It's been under the control of the Rothschild criminal cabal, the synagogue of Satan, since the Federal Reserve was passed. And the lies of history and the fact is that, you know, Jews are taught that they are the eternal victims. Jews have no problem using the lies of the Holocaust to milk the system. They are the original parasites. And so, you know, I don't think you need to judge anyone on an individual basis, but I think I'll tell you what, every interaction I've had with any Jew, Torah, Buddhist Jew, they all are parasites. If they get a chance, they will stab you in the back. They use you. So, I mean, I admire the few Jews who will come out, like Henry Mako, and question, or brother Nathaniel Kapner and some of the others. But basically, until you somehow get them out of power and have a system that serves the government, that serves the majority, and especially in the few countries that barely have a white majority, this is all Jews trying to destroy the Amalek, as they called. So I don't think you can make the distinction of the Torah versus Talmudic Jew. I think they are all – every rabbi is a traitor to the system. They're a cancer. And so I think that they fought so hard to have their own country. I think they need to go to Israel And if they exist in the United States, they need to be marginalized in every way, certainly not in the federal government, certainly not in the media, certainly not controlling banking, the media, controlling medicine, controlling big pharma. All they do is bleed the real citizens, and they never are actual members of the country. They are Jews first, which to me means they gotta go.
Can Brian in Washington reply really quick to Paul?
Hold on.
Go ahead, Paul. Was that you, Paul?
No, hold on. You're not supposed to be on this call anymore.
No, that wasn't me. Brian in Washington wanted to reply to Paul.
Oh, jeez. How is he even here?
I really would like to talk about
Brian, you had
these
say,
issues
we
in
don't
relation
to
the
to
Vax
reply.
Exchange, if that's permissible, if you guys wouldn't mind.
Yeah. Go ahead, Jim.
Giuseppe, I think there's a great virtue here in reviewing this propaganda in attacking Ron Johnson. Here are the three claims. In a press release put out the day after the panel discussion, Johnson said COVID-19 is an entirely treatable disease. Probably hundreds of thousands of people lost their lives and didn't have to, which I regard as an impeccable statement. They claim fact to the contrary. Patients have various treatment options for COVID-19. The FDA has approved the antiviral drug Remdesivir for use in adults and some pediatric patients, and has issued emergency use authorization for several monoclonal antibody treatments. For those who are hospitalized with COVID-19, the NIH has a set of guidelines for when to administer various treatments. Notice it's not actually responding to Ron Johnson's observation. So this is simply diverting a distraction. Your thoughts. And, of course, we know Remdesivir is a poison.
Yes, Jim, that's exactly right. This little papagayo, this little parrot, is just regurgitating and yapping the talking points of Big Pharma, the CDC, which is the most corrupt organization, pseudo governmental organization. All the CDC, instead of the Center for Disease Control, it should be the CDD, Center for Disease Dissemination, because all they do is fund gain-of-function bioweapons and then release them. They have been doing it so to try and create a pandemic, to try and create a worldwide demand for an injection, because that will drive the goyim herd to the New World Order, One World Government. So it's laughable what this
By the way, that response came from the students at Northwestern authoring the article rather than attributed to our associate professor at UW-Madison.
Okay.
The next two both have replies that are based upon his response. Claim Parks, the vaccine critic, that black people may need lower doses of the COVID vaccine because of a sensitivity to vaccines. Fact, they claim. I'm sad that such a claim would even be made, because that kind of misinformation is what leads to health disparities in our society, Seth, he said. The Pfizer, BioNTech, and Moderna COVID vaccine, or mRNA vaccine. They didn't mention, of course, that Robert Malone is the inventor of the mRNA process, and they don't actually. He says it's sad, presumably because it's drawing a distinction between races, but how could anyone have any doubt that races are going to differ in their susceptibility to a disease and their amenability to various treatments? I mean, this is trying to create a problem, an objection, when I think there's no basis for it at all.
That's exactly right, Jim.
You know, it's something that's worth pointing out, and all this stuff.
Paul,
hold on, Paul. Let Jim finish last point, then you can jump in.
Yeah, okay. I'm going to bring you back, Paul. Claim, many panelists said COVID vaccine development was rushed and they are not safe. Fact, I don't think the process was rushed. Notice he says, I don't think, but that's no guarantee. In fact, we found he's highly unreliable. Sethi said, the only thing that was cut from the process was red tape, but the science that was carried out was the same science that would be carried out with the approval process for any new biologic vaccine or treatment. He appears to be massively ignorant. For example, now we're learning that of the hundreds of pregnant women who are involved in the studies, those who have been reported upon, everyone 100% lost their fetus to a miscarriage or a spontaneous abortion. This guy seemed to me to be completely unreliable, which appears to be why they wanted to cite him as a pseudo-authority. Giuseppe.
Yeah, Jim, this article is endemic, since we're moving from a pandemic of gaslighting to an endemic of gaslighting propaganda. This is endemic of what journalism has been transformed into, much like the synagogue of Satan, the cancer that they are, eats into every other institution. Traitorous Satanists have eaten into the once proud Fourth Estate, and now it's been hollowed out into just a literal megaphone of lies, propaganda, and misinformation, disinformation. Jim, this is pathetic. And the Wisconsin, when most listeners or viewers already know, my first career was journalism. I was a professional journalist for 10 years, from the early 80s to the early 90s. And, I mean, this is an embarrassment. I left that profession because I was being censored back then, and I could see where this was all going with a consolidation. I didn't see it was a viable career for me. But I never in a million years thought that the only real journalists would be independents like you and I and the many other people we feature and follow. And we are talked about and laughed at as being conspiracy theorists when we are the only true journalists in existence.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. I know Paul wants to make an addendum. Go ahead, Paul.
Well, like I said, it's worth pointing out, too, that all this stuff is nothing that we would do for ourselves on our own, okay? It's all being done to us. It's presented to us as if there's something that they're going to do for us, when really all they ever do is think about stuff to do to us, okay? The average person just wants to live their life. I made a comment one time on a show years ago, I believe. I think Giuseppe remembers it, where I said, if I had the power, I would just suspend all medical research for like at least 20 years or more.
Right.
And when you look at what's going on here, it's beyond disgusting. You know, I mentioned this idea about, you know, what the medical system used to be in the late 1800s going into the early 1900s. And there's people that were claiming that they had discovered and figured out the treatment and or cure for basically almost all major diseases back then. Okay. And so what are we looking at today? Right. Again, it's these people that are setting the debate. They're setting the table. You know, they're the ones that are putting out all these things for discussion. And of course, it's just a joke, and they turn people into complete and utter fools.
Yeah.
I mean, Neil Young, seriously? I mean, what the heck happened to you? Is
right.
Something going on with your brain? It's just, you know, again, they got to go. There just isn't a good reason. I'm not a dumb person, right? I mean, I listen to many Jewish people online, right? Dr. Tom Cowan is Jewish. Andrew Kaufman. I think these are all very intelligent people, have a lot to contribute. John Rappaport is supposed to be Jewish. Okay? You know, it's not – I know it sounds a certain way, but they're, in my opinion, you know, I don't know what are the conclusion you can draw except for the kind of things I've articulated and Giuseppe has articulated. And if anything, if National Socialist Germany showed us anything, that, you know, until they were attacked, they could promote a high culture, and that's all they wanted. When you look at supposedly what Hitler's main goal was, he didn't want war or conquest. He wanted to promote a high culture.
Giuseppe. We'll be right back.
anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet.
I order you to be quiet.
Look, you stupid bastard. You've got no arms left.
Yes, I have.
Look.
Just a flesh wound.
I don't believe I've seen such a display of courage, skill, nerve, grace, stupidity.
I'll do you for that.
What?
Come here.
What are you going to do, bleed on me?
I'm invincible.
You're a loony.
The Black Knight always triumphs.
Roundtable Live, Monday through Friday, 1 a.m. till 4 a.m. Eastern Time. Bring your mind, bring your ideas, bring your voice. King Arthur had nothing on us. Here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com.
Join me and the Brian Ruse Show on Revolution Radio, Eastern Standard Time, every Tuesday night from 6 to 8. We talk about the four most vital things, in my view, affecting all of humanity. Number one is UFOs and aliens and their agenda for the advancement of humanity. Number two is the Jewish establishment's control over all aspects of human civilization. Number three, the truth about Adolf Hitler, how he was the opposite of what we've been told. Number four is Advanced Ancient Global Civilizations. Join me on the Brian Ruse Show, Tuesday nights from 6 to 8 on Studio B on Revolution Radio.